Hey guys, thanks for checking out the Access Point podcast. Whether you stumbled upon us for the first time or you're a longtime listener, we thank you for coming and listening, and we hope you enjoy.
We are in our third week of our series, I Am. And with this series, we've been looking at who is Jesus? And we've done that. I mean, a lot of times you say, well, every church I've been to, every sermon is, who is Jesus? Even Old Testament, we always bring it back to Jesus. And that's the way it should be. But with the I Am series, we're looking at the actual I Am statements that Jesus made about himself in the Gospel of John. And in that, there were seven I Am statements altogether. We've looked at two of them. You know, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And to us, at first statement, just listening to it, we say, well, bread of life, I don't know what that means for me today. So we look at that, talking about he is a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment, and he is essential. As bread is to physical life, Jesus is to our spiritual life, spiritual wholeness. And then last week with I'm the light of the world, Jesus gives us, again, a sense of protection, gives us a sense of comfort and peace in the darkness, but he also reveals the truth, which is the truth of who he is, what he came for, and why he came. So all of these truths aren't just stories that he used back then. Yes, they were very fitting for his audience. You know, after he fed the 5,000, they wanted their tummies full again. They said, give us the bread. And he said, I've got something better than that. I am the bread of life. You know, and then last week we were talking about during the Feast of Tabernacles, where they're so used to the city of Jerusalem being lit up with these huge torches. The next day, Jesus is like, well, I am the light of the world. You know how that allowed you to celebrate, to thank God for the fire of the night during the Exodus, when my people were led out of Egypt, I gave them comfort by night by giving them light. That's what I do. Because like I said last week, you may not be afraid of the dark, and I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm just afraid of what's hiding in the dark, okay, and what I can't see in the dark. Well, Jesus is giving us that image saying, yes, there's a lot of negative things. There's a lot of bad things, a lot of evil in this world, but I am the light of the world. I am the one that gives comfort, gives peace, even gives direction and truth. So these things aren't just fitting for the Gospel of John when his first listeners heard it, or when the early church was reading it. They say, well, you know, this is fairly relevant. It's still relevant 2,000 years later. So if we're ever going to understand who is Jesus for me, I think the best place to start is, who did Jesus say he was himself? You know, you've heard tons of teachers, tons of preachers. You've heard me. Even if you've been here a while, you know, who Jesus is to me, to them, to your parents, grandparents. But who did Jesus say he is himself? What are his radical claims? Because that's really what it is. It's radical claims of who he is, why he came, and what he stands for. And each of them give us a better image of him. And the more we learn about him and what he is all about and why he came in the first place, then hopefully our relationship should strengthen. Because the more I get to know, you know, some of you, our friendship strengthens. The more I got to know my wife, the more my love grew for her. So the same is true with Jesus. The more I get to know him, understand him, I want to know him more, and I want to love him more and worship him more. So that's what we're hoping to do with this series, I Am. And today, I'm not trying to scare you guys. I know you're like, he's already long half the time. But we're going to talk about two I Am statements. Again, I know you're as like, oh, here he goes. No. They go hand in hand. So I couldn't do one without the other, because they run together. They're in the same chapter. Don't worry, I'm not going to be jumping too far around. But the scripture will be on the screen. We're going to be looking at I am the gate, or in some translations, I am the door, and I am the good shepherd. And we'll see in a little while how those two go hand in hand. But if you have your Bible want to turn to, we're going to be in John 10. It's going to be on the screen or in the YouVersion Bible app. In John chapter 10, he says, let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good, a sheep rustler. For those of you guys who hunt, you know, if a man is hunting and he had to jump the fence to get in there, he shouldn't be there in the first place. That's kind of the image that Jesus is laying out. Back then, it was more with sheep and sheep pens, all right? The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them, and they follow because they're familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Now, I'm going to break up some of the scripture and hopefully explain what each little segment teaches us and shows us. Because what he's conveying to his early audience is something that they're familiar with sheep and shepherds. We don't have a whole lot of that around here. You know, we've got a few sheep, but not many people we call shepherds. So this image is kind of outdated, but the truth behind it is very, very relevant. But what he's saying is, look, as we today have names for horses, dogs, cats, some of you guys even have snakes. I'm not going to judge you. You know, you name your pets. You know, that's what we do. Well, back then, some Eastern shepherds actually did the same, and some even now do the same. Even in Scotland, their shepherds not only called their individual sheep by name, but they claim that individual sheep recognized and responded to their name. That's better than some of your dogs do, okay? That's pretty impressive. I've heard you called some of your dogs by name, and they, like, you know, stick their tongue out at you and run away. Well, these Scottish, you know, shepherds claim my sheep knows its name, and he comes to me. He knows my voice. And that's the picture that Jesus is painting for us. He says, look, the shepherd calls his sheep, calls his flock by name or by a certain tone that he uses or a certain call that he uses that is unique to his sheep, that his sheep have learned over the months or years that they've been around. And so what he's saying is, look, a shepherd has a personal connection with his sheep. There is a bond that a true shepherd has, not some man that jumped over the fence and tried to make claim of the sheep. The sheep will run from him, or the sheep will not know what to do because they don't recognize him, don't yet trust him. But the relationship between the sheep and its true shepherd is a personal relationship. It is one that they respond to. Me, you know, with my dog responds to most everybody. You know, if you call him by name, he's going to come to you. But there is a sense of change when I call his name, and he responds to me a little bit different because I'm the daddy. You know, we're weird nowadays. It used to be, you know, master. Now we've got this relationship with our pets where I'm the daddy of the dog. You know, that's just, we're so weird nowadays, but that's how we are. But our animals, our pets respond to us as its owners, its parents, whatever you want to call yourself, a little bit different because there is a bond there. The same was true with the picture that Jesus is painting here today. And he says, look, as we see shepherds leading their flock, as we see them giving them direction, giving them leadership, not by force, but by free will, out of respect, out of love, that's the kind of relationship that I'm trying to show you today. And that's what Jesus is trying to slowly, he'll start turning the page a little bit, saying, that's my relationship, that's God's relationship with each and every one of you. And so what we saw is that back then, to the audience he was talking to, they understood that a shepherd had so much respect and such a strong bond that he didn't have to go behind the sheep and force the sheep forward. He would stay in front, make sure there's no danger, and his sheep would just come right behind him. They had that image already in their head, so I wanted to paint that image for you today. And that's what Jesus is saying, I do. I'm out front. I'm protecting. I'm looking out for danger. I'm here no matter what happens to make sure you're protected, to make sure you're safe. That's who I am to you as my sheep. So that's the image that the early followers of Jesus heard and saw. And they were already, you know, many people that didn't quite get Jesus were even saying, how dare he say he's our shepherd? I'm no sheep. But then the true followers of Jesus said, he is my shepherd. He's the one who's protected me, especially the disciples who have seen literally this man guiding them, directing them, not forcing them, but inviting them and protecting them and showing them true love and leadership. And they had a respect for him. And that he's painting that picture for now, for even us today. And so, again, going back to this image of sheep, though, and this maybe this is kind of bad when it's related to us. When we think about sheep, the sheep as domesticated animals are really some of the most helpless there are. And you say, well, Jesus just said he's our shepherd. Well, yeah, we're kind of helpless, aren't we? We're very relatable to sheep when it comes to our issues, our needs, our concerns, our struggles. We can be very helpless. And even he says in many cases, without me, you can do nothing. Well, what do you mean I can do nothing? Well, apart from me, you really can't do anything lasting because we are helpless without Jesus Christ. But see, going back to sheep, they would spend their entire day, they were focused on what they were eating. They'd keep their head down, they were grazing, they were eating, and as a result, they would get lost. And that's why Jesus, he had some parables talking about the lost sheep. It wasn't, oh, that may happen. No, it happened all the time. Crazy, dumb sheep done got away again. You know, those people were used to that because that was the nature of the sheep. These sheep had no homing instinct. So these shepherds who had this bond, you know, they had a desire to gain him back, to get him, to show him or her, look, I still care about you. Yeah, you got lost, and yeah, you're the dumbest sheep in my flock, but it's okay. I still care for you. So what Jesus is saying is, look, it is obvious that my sheep should be and are, in this case, totally dependent on the shepherd who cares for, who tends, and shows compassion for. And that's why Jesus's parable on the one lost sheep out of the 99 wasn't just a good story, but it was relatable to those men, those shepherds, because that one sheep was just as important as the 99. Instead of saying, well, at least I got 99. No, he says, I'm going after my one. I love that sheep just as much as I do the 99, and I'm going to do what it takes to find them back. And Jesus is saying, that's my love for each and every one of you. Every lost soul, everybody who's still in the dark, the one who I'm trying to show them the light, give them direction, give them comfort, give them peace, that is a sheep that I still care for. I care for the flock, and I love the flock, but they're in protection right now. I'm going after that one who's been lost. That is the picture that Jesus is still giving us today. And so with him being the shepherd, we have to realize, look, shepherds as a whole were providers, guides, protectors. They were constant companions of the sheep. Jesus is to you and I. It was such a close bond to the shepherd and the sheep that many of the Middle East shepherds of that day, they can actually take their flock, whether they've mingled around a well or maybe they've laid down for the night, by simply giving a call. And as Jesus said, the sheep know my voice. I am their shepherd. My sheep recognize my voice, and they know that's the voice of comfort. That's the voice that we respond to. That's the voice that I want to run after, because I know that's the one that's going to guide me to my next pasture, guide me to the next stream, guide me to where I need to be. And the reason being is because shepherds were inseparable from their flocks. The shepherd would lead the sheep, take them, and David talked about it in Psalm 23, leading to still waters, leading to green pastures, you know, and then leading them to a place to lay down at night. It was a sense of we're following him because we do have a bond with this shepherd. We're following him because we know he's never let us down. He's always made sure our stomachs were full. He always made sure we were never too thirsty. And he always had a place for us to lay down at night. That's the bond that the shepherd and the sheep had. And in fact, there's a story during World War II where some soldiers, you know, as, you know, they get a little free time, they like to get a little rambunctious. That's just the nature of young men in general. But these guys decided to take a few sheep. They were trying to wrangle them up, you know, just get circling them and forcing them back to their camp. You know, what they're going to do with it is only your guess. But they're probably going to make a meal of it. I'm just going to make it clear to you. But they were trying to drive these sheep to their camp. And the shepherd, he's like, look, these guys got guns. I'm not going to try to fight these men. I'm not going to do anything. All I'm going to do is call to my sheep. That's all he knew to do. So as these soldiers were forcing these poor sheep to wrangle them into their camp, the shepherd calls out, and the sheep just forget these men with guns and run headlong to their shepherd because they recognized his voice, because they knew, well, these men are crazy, but that man is my protector. That man is the one that I'm going to run to. I recognize his voice. Forget you guys with guns. You can shoot at me, but this is the one that I'm going to follow. So it's funny how sheep and shepherds have a strong bond. And there's even one story of a man in Australia. He was actually accused of stealing another man's sheep, just one sheep. But what the man who is now the accused, he says, look, I lost this sheep 3 days ago, and it got mingled in with your flock, but it's mine, I promise you. Well, as it went to court, the judge is like, how am I supposed to? You don't have any tagging device on. You don't have any implant to say, oh, there goes my sheep. There's nothing to prove this is your sheep. So the lawyer says, well, let's bring the sheep to court, have him in the courtyard, and see who he responds to. Well, the plaintiff, the one that is accusing, saying, well, that's my sheep, he goes out, calls to the sheep as he typically would his flock. And what happened is that sheep looked up, but actually looked more afraid than anything. The Australian man who was accused, he then made his call, and the sheep came running to him. He knew, that's my man. That's the one that's always cared for me. That's the one that I belong to. Because sheep and shepherds have a strong bond. So are you starting to see the relationship that Jesus is painting for you and I? If we are his sheep, if his sheep are so trustworthy of him as they were back then, as even they are in modern times in that part of the world, then what is he saying about my relationship with him, your relationship with him? He's saying it should be a strong personal bond, a strong relationship based on love and respect, knowing that he's the one that's always protected me. He's the one that's always walked out ahead of me. He's the one who's always guided me. I haven't always listened. I've been like the lost sheep many times, and yet he kept on coming back for me time and time again. That's the relationship that Jesus is painting for you and I. And if there's no other reason to come to Jesus, then I can't lay it any more clearly that Jesus is our shepherd. But Jesus continues to go even more. He says, look, I told you this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. So he tried again. I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. So that's our first I am. I am the gate. Or as I said earlier, some translation, I am the door. It says, the others are up to no good. Sheep stealers, every one of them. He's talking about other religious leaders who have misled the Jewish people, misled those who wanted to follow God, but had been taught things contrary to God's holy word. It says, look, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for, will freely go in and out and find pasture. And see what Jesus is doing. He's, again, painting a picture from sheep farming, if you will, in that time. In the pasture lands of that time for sheep, the pens were actually made of, you know, sometimes with rock, sometimes with different, wood material. But they were always made with just one entrance. And what many cases, what happened many times is the shepherd would get his sheep inside the encampment, inside the fencing, and literally lay across that door. He would lay across it and be the door himself. He would literally protect his sheep, keeping them encamped and being the only block. In other words, when people say, if you're going to get them, you've got to come through me, that's what the shepherd was saying. If those wolves are going to get my sheep, you got to first get me. And I'm going to fight hard for my sheep. I'm going to do what it takes to protect my flock. And that's what Jesus is saying is, look, as you as shepherds and as you know, other shepherds lay across the door to protect them as the door, as the gate, that's what I am to you as my flock. That's what I do in every aspect of your lives. I am that door. I am that protector. I am that line of defense, so you don't have to be. So you don't have to put up as strong of a fight against the enemy, against Satan, against the sins of this world, against the things that want to tear us down. Jesus is saying, I am that gate. I am that first line of defense. And inside that fence, he even says to freely go in and out. It was an Old Testament expression talking about daily life. It was, in a sense, an understanding of free will. Look, inside my protection, you have freedom. You have a sense of trust because you're inside my encampment, inside my flock. I trust my flock to do us right. I know some will become lost, but I've given you freedom. I haven't forced you to do anything, but I'm still there at the gate, as a door, to protect you. See, these shepherds, in good weather, in bad weather, whatever, they were always there. But in the good weather, when it was comfortable, when everything was lovely, they would keep their sheep out in the countryside. And it was nothing, again, more than that pile of rocks. And that's what I was just showing you, that one encampment, that one fencing, not just the wood that we see today, but a literal encampment to a sense to protect them. And so the shepherd, again, would become the door for the sheep, would be the protector. And in this context, Jesus is telling, look, I'm not only the shepherd, I'm the gate in the fact that I'm protecting my sheep, protecting what is inside my zone, inside my loving arms, if you will. And so when Jesus is again saying, I am this door, I am reiterating the fact that I'm protector, but I'm also the way to salvation. If you want to find good pasture, as we hear David talking about. If you want to find safety, protection, peace, well, that only happens through me. And yes, we as Christians, we all the time get the fact that, oh, you're closed-minded when you say Jesus is the only way. I don't say it. Jesus did. I'm just telling you what he said, and I believe every word he says. He's never lied, never been proven wrong. Why would he lie about this? He is the only way. He is the only way to protection, the only way to salvation, because he is the door, he is the gate. He is the one, my shepherd, who's laying across that as my protector. And if he is that way, then I'm going to follow him as my door. And that's what Jesus is trying to point out for you and I, that as a shepherd was back then, so is he for us today. Going on to John 10:10, says, a thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy, but I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they have ever dreamed of. So not only does he protect us, not only does he offer us a way, but he says, look, the way that I offer is better than anything you can dream of, better than any act you've done in your life, better than any relationship, better than any substance, better than anything you can dream of. I offer that to you through my gate, through me, through my protection, and through my peace. He's giving us this image of a satisfied, fulfilled flock, a flock that is living at peace, who doesn't have to fear wolves, doesn't have to fear thieves. He says, yes, they're there, but I'm here to protect them. And what I'm protecting them with is a life of fulfillment, of peace. And people who are really enjoying life and loving his protection is what he offers to us. And what, if we look at the Greek word here, when it talks about an abundant life, that abundance here is really more like a mathematical term. It is meaning a surplus. That's what it generally denotes, is that it's an overflowing surplus. We're no longer in the red. We are beyond in the black. We are doing too good to even count. It is a surplus. It is an abundant life that is overflowing. A life that I never thought was imaginable is the life that Jesus is offering to us as our shepherd and as our door. And then in John 10:11, this is when he gives us our next I am, which I've already been talking about, is I am the good shepherd. He says plainly, I've painted the image of what a shepherd is. You understand it, you know, as he's talking to the audience of that day. Now hopefully you understand that image. And he says, I can't make it any more clear. I've shown you that I'm the way to a fulfilled life. I've now shown you that I am the one who's protecting you, who's giving you a new life, who's giving you a sense of guidance, of comfort, of peace, and giving you a life that is in abundance, that is in surplus, that is overflowing. He is so much more than just a good shepherd. He is really a remarkable shepherd, is who he is to us. And then John 10:12-13 says, the good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrifices himself if necessary. A hired man is not a real shepherd. The sheep mean nothing to him. He sees a wolf comes and runs for it, leaving the sheep to be ravaged and scattered by the wolf. He's only in it for the money. The sheep don't matter to him. And see, what Jesus is describing here is, look, I'm that good sheep, but I'm also a remarkable shepherd. You know, to my flock, to my people, that I'm willing to lay down my life. He lived up to that on the cross, that he was willing to sacrifice himself for you and I, his flock. And as we saw, even the people he was talking to, look, they understood, yeah, a shepherd would risk his life for his sheep, but lay down his life, give up his life for him, that's usually not going to happen unless by accident, when a wolf came too close. Most of the time, especially hired men who were at the gate, would just run and hide, wouldn't care about the sheep. But he's saying, look, my love for my sheep goes beyond any hired hand, goes beyond even a good and great shepherd, because I am a remarkable shepherd. I am the one who's willing to lay down my life for each and every one of you. And then again, he proved that he was willing to do so on the cross. But see, these shepherds, these image he was painting, gives us an understanding that, look, these shepherds went through a lot to protect. So not only was he willing to die, but he's saying, look, I'm willing to put up with a lot of stuff for you as shepherds put up with their sheep today. They had to worry about the weather, had to worry about, you know, other wolves, other shepherds trying to steal their flock. They had to worry about heavy rainfalls turning into mudslides. They had to worry about all these things, all the elements, and staying out there in it with their sheep. A good shepherd's not going to be like, hey, sheep, it's snowing. Good luck to you guys. I'm gone. No, he stayed out there with them, again, as that door, as that line of defense, saying, regardless of weather, he's like the U.S. Postal Service, you know, rain, wind, snow, or sleet, whatever their statement is, you know, they're always there, except Christmas. But the shepherd is saying, I'm always here regardless. I'm always willing to protect regardless. I'm willing to put up with the hottest of days, the coldest of days, the wettest of days, the frozenest ice you can ever think of, even though frozenness is not a word. That's what I'm willing to put up with for you because I want to protect you and offer you a sense of peace and find pasture in a comfortable area. And that's a part of that abundant life that he's offering us. And so Jesus is saying, I am that shepherd. I'm not just some hired hand. I'm not just another prophet here to say, I care for you and then I'm gone. No, I care for you enough to die for you, to protect you, to put up with the beatings, put up with the taunting, put up with everything that I dealt with for you and for our relationship. And so going back to the shepherds, he's saying, look, that's the image that I'm giving you. Shepherds nowadays, you know, as he's talking to them, is look, they get worn out. They get bogged down. They need rest, but I'm always here. But going on with this image, he says, look, as you see, shepherds have to have a moment where they get away, have to have a little bit of time off. And so this image, he's talking about the hired hand, wasn't just, again, part of the story, but it was a literal thing that happened. What they would do is, in order for the shepherds to say, look, I've got to get some sleep, you know, without worrying about wolves, he would go to a local town where they would have this common sheepfold, where they would go in, they would say, that's my flock, I'll be back tomorrow to get them after I get a little bit of sleep. And they would take them, there would be a man, a gatekeeper, who would make sure that nobody's taking another man's sheep, everything was protected, everything was good. And he's saying, look, though, those hired men, they may protect some, but when true danger comes, when you know everything that the world can throw them is thrown at them, they're going to leave. They're just a hired hand. They're just saying, look, I'm in it for the money. I'm not about these sheep. I'm not about, in this term as a religious leader, saying I'm not about these people. So when the tough times come, when they keep bringing their life issues at me, I'm gone. I'm just a hired hand. And when he's comparing them to that hired hand, saying, look, don't really care about these sheep. I'm just here to do a job. But what Jesus is doing, he's vividly contrasting himself with other religious leaders, other so-called prophets, other people who are proclaiming to be from God or even to be God. And he's saying, look, these people were thieves and robbers. They're just, in many cases, even might be hired hands, but they don't care about you like I care about you. I am the true shepherd. I am the one that offers the only protection, the only way, the only abundant life there is. Because that's who I am, and that's the image that he's trying to give us. And then going towards the end of the book, John 10, 14, 18, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and my own sheep know me. In the same way the Father knows me, and I know the Father. That didn't go over too well with a lot of the so-called hired hands, the religious leaders of his day. They weren't ever a big fan of him saying, I know the Father knows me, because they knew he's claiming to be God. Never went over so well, but that's what he was doing. It says, I put the sheep before myself, sacrificing myself if necessary. You need to know that I have other sheep in addition to those in his pen. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about you and me. He's talking about those outside of the Jewish faith. Because a lot of times, remember the early church, the Jews, they thought, well, this Messiah is for us. No, Jesus is saying, look, there's other sheep. There's other people that are going to come to know me. And that's what I've came to protect and even to give my life for. Is the people, the other sheep in the other pen. It says, I need to gather and bring them too. They'll also recognize my voice. Then it will be one flock, one shepherd. And that's an amazing truth for you and I. And again, he's reiterating the fact, as he did at the beginning of the chapter about the relationship with the sheep and his shepherd. He's saying, look, my people know me. And I want my shepherds to know or my sheep to know that I know them intimately. I know their needs. I know their concerns. I know their quirks because I made them. That's who they are to me. They aren't just, you know, things that I own. They're not just assets that I have to turn to the IRS. No, they are my children. They are my flock, my people. I know them intimately, and I want them to know me intimately. And he's saying, look, as local shepherds would give their distinctive calls, their distinctive noise, they would come running. As sheep would do that then, that's what I want my people to do in my relationship with them. Our relationship with God, he wants to be that intimate, that personal. Many times we just say, well, yeah, I'm one of God's sheep, one of God's children, but we don't ever take it personal. We don't ever allow him into our lives to know us more intimately or to open ourselves up to God just a little bit more. We say, yeah, God, I'm yours. I got baptized. I did what I'm supposed to do, but never take it any further. And God is saying, I want you to know me better. I want your lives to be opened up more so that you can understand what this abundant life is. Yes, you've accepted me, but then you stopped and there's so much more. You're at the starting point. You're at the starting line. Why stop? Eraser doesn't do that, so why are you doing that? I want you to know me more because I know you as you are and love you as you are. Yes, I know you've got quirks. I know you've got issues. I know you've got struggles, but I love my sheep nonetheless. And as local shepherds of that time knew his sheep and the sheep knew his voice, Jesus is saying, that's who I am to them. That's how I want our relationship to be. And so as followers of Christ, Jesus is both our shepherd and our door. He provides us for all of our needs. We may be saying, well, God didn't answer my prayer about what I needed. Well, sometimes we pray for a lot of things that we want, but really are detrimental to our lives or we just don't need at the time. But Jesus is saying, look, a part of that abundant life as that door, as that gate, and as your shepherd to give you protection, it doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. But it does mean even in the darkest hours, even in the moments where we feel like we're in the bottom of the valley, as again we kind of get alluded to in Psalms 23, saying, I'm still there. I'm still protecting. I'm still that first line of defense. I'm still laying across that gate as the literal door, saying, if anybody's going to get to you, if any struggle's going to get to you, it's got to come through me first because I'm here fighting for you, alongside you, fighting with you, and I'm leading in front of you. I'm not forcing you. Jesus doesn't force us to church, doesn't force us into a relationship with him. He invites us in as a shepherd. It says, look, follow me. Come with me. I want to show you what a true abundant life is about. And he says, look, I know the world is full of predators, full of things, full of sins, full of issues, full of struggles, full of things that even right now you're thinking, if only the pastor knew what my relationship was like, knew what my struggles were like, he wouldn't be saying that Jesus can't handle that. Jesus can handle anything we've got. And he's saying, you're always under my protection, always there giving you a guiding hand, trying to get you out of those struggles and issues if we'll just trust in him as our shepherd. Jesus is that way. Jesus is that door, that shepherd. He's given us proof on the cross. Matthew 20:28 says, that is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not to be served, and then to give away his life in exchange for the many who are held hostage. That's for us, his sheep. He came to die for him. He says, not only do I love you enough to give you some wisdom, to give you my teachings, to show you who I am and what I'm about and how to live a better life. That's not what Jesus came for. Part of following him leads to a better life and better morals, but that's not what he came for. He came to die for each and every one of us, to give us an eternal life. Knowledge of that eternal life changes our physical life here on earth, our temporary life here on this moment, saying, because he died for me, the least I can do is live for him today. The least I can do is change some of my actions. I'm not going to be perfect, far from it, but I'm trying my best. I'm doing what I can to follow my shepherd, follow the one who loved me enough to die for me. Because through his willing sacrifice, Jesus made salvation possible for each and every one of us. Any of us sheep who would come to him to recognize that voice, recognize, look, there's something different about Jesus than all the other teachings, all the other so-called gods, all the other so-called leaders. That voice I recognize. And many of you in your testimony can attest to that. Say, I was running away from God. I didn't know who God was. I didn't trust a God in general. But when I heard about Jesus, there was something about that voice. There was something that stood out to me, and it drew me in, and I felt protected. I felt a sense of comfort. There was many times as a youth minister that a lot of my kids, when they accepted Christ, they would literally talk about, I feel light. I feel this sense of protection, of peace over me. And I say, that's God in your life. That's that peace, that comfort. That's that voice that you're answering to in your life, giving you a sense of his love for you in this moment. That's been there the whole time, but now you've finally responded to, finally said, thank you, God, for doing that for me. I trust in you, and I give my life to you. And so Jesus is saying, I am all of that for each and every one of you. I am that gate, and the fact that I am the only way to salvation, the only way to protection, only way to an abundant life. It's closed-minded, yes, but it's the truth. It doesn't matter if those outside the Christian faith say we're closed-minded. We're just being honest with what Jesus claimed. And that claim turned out to be true when he raised from the dead. No one else, religious-wise, prophet-wise, godly-wise, never came back from the dead on their own power. Only Jesus did that. And so to me, when the man said, I am the only way to salvation, came back from the dead, you are who you said you are. And you've proved it time and time again, even conquering sin and death on the cross and in the tomb. And then he says, I am that good shepherd. I'm the one willing to die for each and every one of you. I'm willing to give you that abundant life if you'll listen to my voice. I know who you are. I want you to know who I am. So maybe in your life you say, look, I've never accepted Jesus as my shepherd, as my God. But I've heard that voice, and I've just never responded to it. Why not do that today? He's been calling, trying to plead for you to come to him. He's not going to force you here to church. You say, I'm not coming back. Well, he's not going to force you back. I might beg for you to come back, but I'm not going to force you back. And God is saying, look, it's an open invitation. It's freedom. You know, the sheep that I have in my flock are here because they've chosen to be here. And they've seen the love and protection that I offer. And that's the same protection that he's offering to us. That abundant life that he's offering to each and every one of us. So whatever that decision is, I pray that don't leave here today without doing that. And hopefully understanding what that relationship with Jesus can mean in your life. Let's pray.
Hey guys, it's AJ Layton, lead pastor at Access Point Church. We're so glad you guys have found us, stumbled upon us, or been long listeners. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our page, share with your friends. We look forward to seeing you next week.